Okay, hello everyone. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, this Saturday roundup, and we are coming to you live from Washington, D.C. this evening, November 22nd, 2008, the 45th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in Dallas, Texas, November 22nd, 1963. There's some new information that has come to light even 45 years later because, of course, the government, once again, as they always have done to the American people, time and time again, took us all for a bunch of fools. They tried to sell us the Warren Commission report, which was nothing more than a collection of frivolous the real conspiracy, of course, is the Warren Commission report. Nothing in that report is true, just as nothing in the 9/11 Commission report was true. When you have a true report from the United States government, it usually doesn't see the light of day. For example, the report that right-wingers attempted to overthrow President Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1934 with the help of the American Legion. Reports like that that are true very rarely get any kind of public attention, but canards like the Warren Commission report and the 9/11 Commission report always are held up as shining examples of the truth, when in fact they're nothing more than a pack of lies, let's call it for what it is. If you'd like to call the program tonight, the number is toll-free. 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Although we'll be talking mostly about some new revelations, maybe not all of them are new, it's just that many of them have been ignored over the years about what happened that day, particular day in Dallas, November 22nd, 1963. We'll certainly talk about how what happened 45 years ago is still affecting us today, because I've always maintained that the United States is such a large country, such a diverse country. It's not like Latin America, where you can throw the tanks out in the street in the afternoon and have a new military junta by sunset. I believe the coup in this country started on November 22nd, 1963, culminated on September 11th, 2001, and everything in between, Vietnam, the RFK assassination, Martin Luther King's assassination, Watergate, Iran-Contra, and all the other scandals were just a part of the kabuki dance that got us from November 22nd, 63 to September 11th, 2001. But anyway, we can certainly talk about that concept. Again, the number, the toll-free number is 800-313-9443. We'll be also playing some clips, just some things that you think you know what happened. Those of you who may not have even been born back then have certainly seen the movie JFK. You've seen all the footage, but there's some things you probably may have missed, and we're going to talk about some of the evidence where just things were missed, and there are still problems today. Anyway, this is Wayne Mattson. We will be right back after this break. Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday night roundup, coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, on this 45th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in Dallas. I always usually say that journalism and journalists, by and large, are getting much, much worse as time goes by. I point to the fact that nowadays journalists are merely stenographers. They repeat what they're told by the government or corporations or their own corporate companies, their own businesses. We certainly see that enough with the cable news channels and the tripe they put out, and they try to call it news. I've always had a tendency to give the journalists in the old days, and I say the old days, I'm talking about the 1950s and 60s, a credit. But I have to say that I'm going to play some clips of how many journalists, some of whom you may know, reacted to the assassination, the shooting of President Kennedy. And I always said that it looked to me like many people were reading from the same script on 9/11. Listen to some of these, and you'll find out that it appears that many of these news reporters were reading from the same script. The only question is who handed them the script. Before anybody knew anything about what happened in Dallas that day, they all said the president was hit. There were three shots fired in Dealey Plaza. Well, nobody really knew that. As a matter of fact, there were reports that it sounded like automatic gunfire. So how many, you know, if it's automatic gunfire, how do you know three shots were fired? Let's play this first. I'm going to play a series of news reports from not only the national media, from CBS and ABC, but also how it was handled by one local radio station in Dallas, and you'll hear this immediate reference to three shots being fired in Dealey Plaza. So it's just very interesting how all these various news organizations seem to be singing from the same choir sheet. So if we could play this first clip from Dallas, Texas, about Dallas, Texas, what happened on November 22nd.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago.
Well, that was Walter Cronkite, and later on, he, like many others, will say that three shots were fired in Dealey Plaza. Let's also play this next clip of how this report was handled locally in Dallas, Texas.
Mighty fine. Away we go on the Rex Jones Show.
This is the one.
Dallas, three shots reportedly were fired at the motorcade of President Kennedy today near the downtown section. KLIF News is checking out the report. We will have further reports. Stay tuned.
Friend is the name of that one, not by the Chiffons, and I think that is a real winner. As a matter of fact, you must think so too. Already voted number 36 on the instant top 40 at KLIF.
We're doing our Christmas shopping as Robert Paul this year.
Okay, I think,
we're saving on clothes.
This is a Dallas radio station. They were playing this music. They break in to say that three shots were fired at the presidential motorcade. And what do? They go to the DJ, who then goes to play a commercial for Robert Hall. I can't criticize Robert Hall. I wore a lot of my clothes from Robert Hall in those days. But I think it goes to show, imagine the president of the United States is shot and they do not stop regular programming. On CBS, they were showing an episode of, I believe it was As the World Turns, one of these soap operas. And of course they never resumed, that soap opera when they first reported that there was shots fired at President Kennedy. But, this Dallas radio station is just amazing how they just, rather than go to their news bureau, they continue on and on. And then later they even, they play another song. They have another intervening news clip, but then they go play another song, and then they play a commercial for Ham's Beer. Obviously, you know, these people were not taking this seriously at this Dallas radio station. Now, I'm going to play some other clips of a morning Dallas TV show, and you ought to hear what this reporter has to say as they break into this variety show, one of these morning gab fests. He has something very interesting to say because before Cronkite and the others in New York had said, reported that President Kennedy, in fact, had died, they were reporting that he had been hit and seriously injured. And when you hear that clip, you'll say, well, wait a minute, how does this guy, how is he so certain that the president is actually dead before anyone else was reporting it? He also reports that, and this could have been an honest mistake, that Governor Connally, who was in the car with President Kennedy, had also been struck down, in his words, by an assassin's bullet. He said that both President Kennedy and Governor Connally had been struck down by assassin's bullets that day. So, anyway, I think we have time probably for another clip where you'll hear the three-shot scenario. Again, how did they know? Because, people heard echoes. Say you heard echoes, you heard shots. Nobody knew three shots were fired. They were not absolutely certain because this is right in the pandemonium of the people running around, police and FBI and Secret Service and everybody else. And I would say also the conspirators were running around. Let's listen to how ABC reported this. ABC News, this is ABC Radio, and you're going to hear the same thing again.
Hooray for Hollywood, where you're terrific if you're even good, where anyone at all...
We interrupt this program to bring you a special bulletin from ABC Radio. Here is a special bulletin from Dallas, Texas. Three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade today in downtown Dallas, Texas. This is ABC Radio. To repeat, in Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade today. The president now making a two-day speaking tour of Texas. We're going to stand by for more details on the incident in Dallas. Stay tuned to your ABC station for further details.
Well, there you have it again. Three shots. Now we know many experts say that at least 10 shots were fired in Dealey Plaza. I've seen some reports, including something that was in one of the appendices to the Warren Commission report, that there were may have been as many as 21 shots fired. So who put out the information about three shots? This is what's being put out. It's almost like the same video feeds were being shown to all of us on the morning of 9/11. The networks were using each other's video feeds. The question is, where were those video feeds coming from? I just do not believe that in the world's largest media market, New York City, that the networks did not have their own capability, have their own cameras on the World Trade Center. Here we have all these networks, all these individuals saying three shots were fired when it had just happened. Nobody really knew how many shots, in fact, had been fired at that point in time, except somebody was trying to make it look like the Warren Commission. I mean, it's almost like they knew what they were going to put into the Warren Report. You know, three shots from Oswald's rifle, and boom, here you have it being reported even minutes after the assassination of the president. So, again, just another example of some of the nonsense we fall for and have been falling for quite a number of years in this country. We, in fact, are a nation of sheep. Anyway, we will be right back to some of our callers after this short break.
Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup. Coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C. on this November 22nd, 2008, the 45th anniversary. It's hard to believe it's been that long. Let's take our first caller. Kathy from Louisiana is calling in. Are you with us, Kathy?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Well, we've been playing some clips here. I just want to play another clip of how this one station, TV station in Dallas handled the report. When you listen to this guy, he's really out of breath. I have a feeling that before they start spinning the news, you're going to get the correct reports. This guy was absolutely firmly convinced that President Kennedy was dead, when everyone else was saying he was seriously wounded. So we could play this clip here from this is from one of the TV stations in Dallas that morning. You're going to hear a variety show that they will break in on.
The zipper holding the hood in, because it's easier to put the hood on and off with the zipper than it is with the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's zippers up the side so that the jacket will fit tightly around the hips, keeping that straight, sleek look that it should have. And very often you'll find a zipper hidden in the arm.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You'll excuse the fact that I'm out of breath, but about 10 or 15 minutes ago, a tragic thing, from all indications at this point, has happened in the city of Dallas. Let me quote to you this, and you'll excuse me if I am out of breath. A bulletin, this is from the United Press, from Dallas. President Kennedy and Governor John Connally have been cut down by assassins' bullets in downtown Dallas. They were riding in an open automobile when the shots were fired. The president, his limp body carried in the arms of his wife Jacqueline, has rushed to Parkland Hospital. And if you'll excuse me if I give some directions and we talk about what we're going to do here for the next few minutes, but Bobby, let's tape this, if you please, particularly the interview with the eyewitness people. It is being taped good. Here's a piece of copy that was rushed to me and was torn off from the United Press in Dallas. President Kennedy has been shot in Dallas, Texas. He was shot as a motorcade left downtown Dallas. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up and grabbed the president. She cried, "Oh, no," as the motorcade sped on. An Associated Press photographer, James Algens, 8LTGENS, reports he saw blood on the president's head. The AP man said he heard two shots but thought someone was shooting fireworks until he saw the blood on the president. He also said he saw no.
Well, there you have it. Now, he's reading from a United Press International copy that is stating that President Kennedy and Governor Connally had been cut down by assassins' bullets. Now, you know, the question has to be asked, was Connally supposed to have been killed too? Did somebody have this copy ready to go, because we heard about, you know, the three gunshots and nobody was – this guy reported two gunshots. Why was everyone else so certain that it was three? Because out of New York, out of the national news networks, they were all saying three gunshots. Well, Kathy, it's kind of like what happened on 9/11, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. The media repeats what they're initially said, and they keep repeating the same story.
That's right. That's right. And we're put up, we put up with it every day. It's incredible. But this Kennedy thing. The other thing I want to just mention too is, if you look at the Zapruder film, and I never noticed this until the other day when it was pointed out to me. When you see President Kennedy, he's waving to people. He's hit with the first shot. The first shot that hits him front, in his throat. That's obviously fired from in front. That's not Oswald. He was supposedly in back in the book depository. He reaches up to grab his throat, and then another bullet hits Kennedy in the back, and then before the fatal one in from the grassy knoll, it tears his the right side of his head off. You can see people walking on the other side of Elm Street, but if you look at the people in the foreground on who would have been to Kennedy's right on Elm Street, the side where the grassy knoll was, they are not moving at all. They look like department store mannequins. And of course, now it's widely believed that Abraham Zapruder, who took the film, it did not go to Life magazine, but it had gone, copies had gone to the CIA. And they manipulated the film to absolutely disprove that any shot could have come from the front. But even from what we see, it's clear that the bullet was fired from the front, from the grassy knoll. Anyway, I had never noticed that. But I think we've seen a lot of manipulation of videos over the years, especially. We've seen some very strange things, again, likening this whole situation to 9/11.
Yes, it is very interesting. And since today is the anniversary, I was going through the Internet today to look at the various theories that had been put out there. And one of the ones that I hadn't heard before, since I'm a lot younger and this happened well before I was born,
if we can hold it right there, we've got a short break coming up. We'll be right back after this break. Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report Saturday Roundup. We'll be right back with you after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Night Roundup, coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C. on this November 22nd, 2008. 45th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. And we have Kathy on the line with us from Louisiana. I would like to also, Kathy, you were mentioning something about finding something on the Internet. So why don't you pick up where we left off?
Right. No, I was just looking over some information that I had come across. And one of the things that I had seen was, I guess, a laboratory technologist Paul Kelly O'Connor was saying that he believed that the body had been made to appear as if it had been shot only from the rear, sometime between the Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, and its arrival at the Bethesda Naval Hospital in Maryland.
Right. They even stole President Kennedy's brain. I mean, the bodies were tampered with during the autopsies. The president's physician a Navy officer had never even conducted an autopsy before and does one on the president. It was the worst manipulation of a crime scene probably in modern times. I'd like to also just play a clip of Walter Cronkite. He's referring to a report out of Radio Moscow, and he's saying, well, this is Soviet propaganda, but I hate to tell you something. What Radio Moscow reported about who was behind the assassination of President Kennedy happens to have been correct. So if we could play this this Cronkite piece here, you'll find this rather amazing.
The fader, Valentin Zorin, one of their respected, as far as the Soviet goes, mouthpieces of the Kremlin, is trying to counter charges on Moscow radio that President Kennedy was a victim of a leftist fanatic. He has said, those who know how the security of President Kennedy is organized know that it is not possible for a fanatic to commit such an assassination. A political crime, thoroughly prepared and planned, has taken place, Valentin Zorin says. And this terribly inflammatory statement by one of the kingpins of Soviet propaganda in Moscow, he went on to say, quote, it is not accidental that it took place in the southern states, which are well known as a stronghold of racist and other fascist scum. It is precisely here that Goldwater, referring, of course, to Arizona Senator Barry Goldwater, who is one of the contenders for the presidency, gets his support. We repeat, in case anybody could mistake the import of these words, that this is Soviet propaganda broadcast by Moscow radio commentator Valentin Zorin.
Well,
Zorin went on to charge that the president's slaying was inspired.
We could call it Soviet propaganda, but that absolutely what Moscow was reporting was true. Kennedy was done by a right-wing conspiracy, not by a left-wing conspiracy. And it is interesting that that Zorin refers to a plot hatched in the southern states, plural. Did the KGB finally, after this happened, look at its own intelligence? Or did they look back at their own records and realize there were plots afoot, various plots afoot to kill Kennedy? And they were in not only Texas, but Louisiana and the state of Florida. So it may be why he used the term southern states. Kathy, hold on with us because we're going to go to some other callers. We want to bring Ron in from Ohio. Ron, are you with us?
Hello, Wayne.
Yes. Hello.
Great to talk to you. I just wanted to mention that I this past April I read a book, and for the 40th anniversary of MLK's assassination, I heard about Mr. Pepper's book, Active State, I think it's called.
Right.
And reading that book, I mean, before I read that book, I was a believer of like the PBS Nova version that Oswald did it, but after reading that book, I kind of wonder. I don't know about JFK's assassination.
Well, I mean, I think what we know is that what we have is a case where it was the same elements who were behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King. And, the secret government, whether we want to say it's the CIA or the FEMA people, let's just say it's the government over which the United States, the people of this country, have absolutely no control because it operates in the shadows.
Mm-hmm. It seems like big money interests are involved.
Oh, absolutely. It's big money and big interests. We know that one thing I didn't know this, that President Kennedy started to reissue federal notes that didn't say the Federal Reserve note. It was part of the Federal Reserve Bank. They said United States note. And apparently Kennedy had a real problem with the Federal Reserve. And if he was taking them on and taking on the CIA and talking about detente with the Soviet Union, you can see what elements in this country, he irritated to the point where they decided to have him murdered.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, thanks for checking in, Ron. It's good to talk to you. Let's go to Clarence, who's been holding on in Oklahoma. Clarence, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Wayne. And this is a great show tonight. I especially like the clips. And,
oh, great.
I can tell you real quickly, I was in junior high school at the time, and as everyone does, I remember exactly where I was. That was a Friday. I was not in school. I had the flu. I was home watching television. And there was a local talk show, or TV talk show, on one of our popular, there was only like three TV stations back then, people will recall. And the news, the network was dark from noon to 1 o'clock, that's central time where I am. And at 12:25, they went to a local, like you say, talk show, interview show, whatever. Well, the news director of the TV station, at a little after 12:30, while this fellow was conducting the interview, walked into the instead of cutting to him at the newsroom, he walked right onto the set of the interview. And he walked right in, and the guy doing the does the interviews there was obviously startled, surprised. And he said, "Can I help you?" You know, and the news director said, "I've just gotten a disturbing news flash from Dallas, Texas, that shots have been fired at the president's motorcade." That's all the information he had. He just brought it in as soon as he got it off. Now, that was, as I recall from reading the book, The Death of a President by William Manchester. You know, communications wasn't that good back in those days. That's why there were so many conflicting reports at first.
Right.
You didn't have the satellites and all this neat stuff we got today. All they had was a radio telephone on the press bus behind the president's limousine in the motorcade. The two guys up front were Merriam Smith of UPI and Jack Bell of the Associated Press.
Right.
There's only one phone. And when they realized what was going on, according to Manchester, he interviewed everybody, they jumped on that phone like a football.
Yes.
And actually went to fisticuffs over who was going to get that phone. You know, the whole deal. I wanted to get the story out first.
Oh, sure, sure.
And they jumped on that, and that's all they could say at the time were that, and they didn't say how many. They just said shots were fired at the president's motorcade. Now, that was what they call a flash. That's 10 bells on the old ticker or the old, teletype back then.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, the definition of a flash is any story that can be understood by someone in three words or less, like president shot Dallas, you know, something like that. And but then they went back to their interview. Of course, that's all information they had. Information was slow. And the network, I think, finally, cut them short by 10 minutes, and NBC finally came on and started their coverage, which I have the tape from C-SPAN that ran it minute by minute a few years back.
Right, right.
So I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, like in the initial things, they're going to get really confused. I worked in the radio news business when I was in college many years ago, and I know how.
Right.
How that can be. So I'll just go ahead and put that out and let you get on to some more callers.
Okay, great. Thanks for checking in. Great to hear your memory of what happened that day, Clarence calling from Oklahoma. Let's take a call. Art is calling from Pennsylvania. Art, are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me, Wayne?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay. I got some insight into this that from the Philadelphia area that really clarify what really happened there. Philadelphia has Arlen Specter, the inventor of the single bullet theory.
Oh, yes, good old Arlen. Yeah.
Right.
Magic bullet Arlen.
Right. Well, let's talk about him for a second. First of all, he said if he didn't invent the single bullet theory, the prime suspect would be LBJ. He said that in his own words.
Uh-huh.
Second of all, if you look at the actual records, it's been recorded there was at least 17 bullets fired during that assassination, and there's bullets that are in the wall of the bridge, the limo zone of the bridge. Okay, so that fallacy was set up afterwards.
Right.
The other cohort in the single bullet theory was Richard Sprague. Both of them were DAs of Philadelphia.
Also from Philadelphia, I think, right?
Also from Philadelphia. And let me tell you, there's a website called TheFixerSprague.com, and there's a guy named Tony Cavell who basically is trying to sell a coal mining shovel. And Sprague's company came up to him, approached him, tried to create some creative financing. Long story short, they didn't go for the deal. They invited down to Sprague's house, Sprague's office. Sprague walked out of the room, the guy trying to set up the deal, grabbed his wife in a headlock, basically put the gun to his head, his wife's head, for half an hour, said, "You don't know this, we're going to blow your brains out." They let him go. Huh. She had a stroke, ended up in a wheelchair. Now,
wow.
This is one of the guys that set up the single bullet theory, okay? Richard Sprague. The other one, Arnold
right.
Spector. There's a website called In Memory of Spector's Deeds. Look at that.
Yeah.
My own family relative, this is what happened around 1980, was dating a kid named William Hogan out of Bucks County, out of Bensalem, Pennsylvania.
Right.
And long story short, he gets in a legal problem. She goes with him, a lawyer. The lawyer's name is Charles Peruta Sr. Here's the dialogue. "Good day, Mr. Hogan. Oh, I see you got caught dealing drugs. It's a good thing you deal drugs in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. You're protected by Arnold Spector. These are the two authors of the single bullet theory." Okay?
Right.
They have no
right.
credibility at all.
No, none at rented. All. Yes.
Right. The third one rented to was a guy named, what's his name? Alan Rubenstein, who was the district attorney for Bucks County. And that was the judge over there. "Says, Alan, are you related to Jack Rubenstein?" "Yes, he's my uncle. He came over all the time, talked about doing business
uh-huh.
with my father." "And do you know who Jack Rubenstein is?"
Yes, I why don't you tell us who we knew Jack Rubenstein, what his real name was. That was his real name, Jack Ruby, right. Jack Ruby,
right.
Who?
He was the lieutenant of the Brockman crime family, okay?
Right. Right.
Which is now run by obviously the Brockmans run the Chicago outfit. And
we're told there was no conspiracy. Art, we're told there's no conspiracy. You've just named three people who were involved in the assassination, or at least the two on the investigation. One in the assassination itself, all traveling in the same circles through Philadelphia.
Yes,
but we're told there's no conspiracy.
Right. Now, there's definitely a conspiracy. There's a lot of details that came out of that case. And a big
Absolutely.
Part of the power structure is right here. We have Netanyahu back here, and his buddy Larry Silverstein, directly related back to the World Trade Center collapse. We got Henry Kissinger back here, who was appointed by Nixon Walter Annenberg. Walter Annenberg's father was Moses Annenberg, the right-hand man of Capone that set up the syndicate. Okay?
Right.
The mob did this. And part of the mob is, if you look at Operation Underworld, you would see the mob took over the CIA all the way back when it was the OSS in World War II. They damn well did it. There is no difference between the CIA and the mob.
You're absolutely right.
The same organization.
Thanks for connecting all those dots through Philadelphia. And I would commend to you, there's a website, it's Philadelphia Broadcasters, you'll hear a clip, I think it's about an hour, a guy who used to be on the old former WCAU AM, Jack McKinney, hosts a round table where he's got a guy who says, look, he goes through all this stuff about, and this is back in the 60s, about how the Warren Commission was totally all wet. And, of course, he has somebody else supporting the Warren Commission, who's obviously a shill. But anyway, Art, thanks for calling in and giving us a perspective on this November 22nd from Philadelphia. I grew up in the Philadelphia suburbs, and that's where I was. I won't say what grade I was in. I was in fourth grade, but I remember it like it was yesterday. Let's go to Dave, who's calling in from California. Dave, are you with us?
Hi, Wayne.
Hi.
Good show. And busy. I got two things. One of them is there's two people in the world that I can name that don't remember where they were when Kennedy was shot.
Yes, I know one of them. Go ahead.
And Richard Nixon and George Herbert Walker Bush.
George Herbert Walker Bush,
exactly. And they
both
turned up to be in Dallas that day after all. Oh, that's right. I was in Dallas when Kennedy was shot. That's right. How did that slip my mind? But I got a piece of kind of weird information that... I can't totally verify, but I'll bet you've never heard it before, and I'd like to bounce it off of you. There on the grassy knoll, there was a number, you know, you remember how open and free of people it was as the limo drove by?
Right.
You remember the woman in red standing at basically the yard line for when it appears to me that all the shots were fired, almost like she was a yardage marker standing in there. She had like
right.
all red. She was completely red hat, red dress, red, you know, top,
is that the
same?
Is that the
everything?
Are you talking about the woman they called her the babushka lady?
I'm not sure, but I just know she was just like in I've never heard of anybody talk about her before.
Yeah, but, yeah. I think there have been some, but there was also, if you see the guy who raises, it's a sunny day, but he raises a black umbrella.
Right.
Which should have been that should have been a clue to the secrets. But the Secret Service, obviously, many of them were in on the president.
Well, I have this minor theory about the lady in red, and I'd be interested to hear what anybody else has to say about it. And that is, my thought is that she was a yardage marker. Basically, it was a no-go spot for the people to open fire because apparently, if there were multiple shooters, they'd want them to all fire at once as much as possible, at least for the first round.
And well, it's interesting you mentioned that she was dressed in red. I was also told recently that Jackie Kennedy was handed a bouquet of red flowers at Love Field. All the other women were given the signature yellow roses, you know, the yellow rose of Texas bouquet, except for her. And it's thought that that was to distinguish her from other people in the car in case her and President Kennedy switched seats or her and Nellie Connolly had switched seats, that they she had the red bouquet, again, as you're suggesting, a sort of a marker.
Interesting. Isn't there some occult significance to a woman in red? I've heard of it, but I don't know what
there
it
may
is.
There may be. But listen, we've got a commercial here. Thanks for checking in with us, Dave, from California. This is Wayne Mattson. We will be right back after this short message. Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Night Roundup, coming in tonight from Washington, D.C. on this 45th anniversary of the tragic day in Dallas, Texas, when President John F. Kennedy was cut down in a hail of bullets. Three shots? Most people believe that there were between 10 and some estimates as many as 21 shots fired that day in Dallas, Texas. Our other caller, Art, who called in from Pennsylvania, wanted to add there was a cover-up, of course, of the JFK assassination because his successor, President Lyndon Baines Johnson, wanted to keep us in Vietnam. And President Kennedy showed every inclination that he was going to pull us out of Southeast Asia, another thing that irritated the powers that be. President Kennedy was 46 years old. He had served 3 years as president. He was 46 years old when he was killed. Barack Obama is 47 years old. We can only hope that President Obama will remember some of the great things and the goals that President Kennedy had in mind. I have some issues with some of the conservatives and war hawks he has been appointing to his cabinet, but let's hope that President Obama will pick up from where President Kennedy left off. I want to play a clip of a rather famous speech, one that doesn't get as much attention as it should. President Kennedy speaking to the newspaper editors in New York. If we can play this clip of and listen to what President Kennedy's warning us against.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Well, Jack Kennedy, you could have said it better. We miss you. The world, this country, has not been the same since you were assassinated. And I'll say, by that conspiracy of the Central Intelligence Agency, the Secret Service, J. Edgar Hoover's FBI, the Mafia, and probably people high up in Wall Street that didn't like the fact that you were issuing United States notes and you were going to scrap the Federal Reserve note and potentially even the Federal Reserve Bank. We remember you, President Kennedy. We can only hope that Barack Obama can pick up where President Kennedy unfortunately left off and restore this democracy of this nation to the way where it was, the way our founders envisioned it to be. Anyway, this is Wade Matson coming to you tonight, November 22nd, 2008. We'll be back with you this time next week.